Well, good evening. For those who don't know me, my name's Rick, and I'm one of the pastors in the church here. I wonder who you think Jesus is. It's a pretty silly question asking a bunch of people who've been silly enough to come to church at 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve, isn't it? But really, who do you think Jesus is? Or maybe was? How would you describe the Christian story? I was reading on an atheist webpage recently that Christmas is a great time to celebrate Jesus. For atheists, this person was saying, because it's part of the community culture. Quaint and nostalgic. Part of our family and what our family does. I was actually recently speaking to someone who expressed the idea that the story of Christmas is simply a child's story that's been embellished a bit, that's somewhat lacking in fact and a bit mythical, but as long as you keep the mythical stuff to Christmas time, well, Christmas is full of mythical things and everyone feels good about it, and that's okay. Now, at some level, I must admit, there has been a certain level of embellishment on the Christmas story. Just for the records, despite what you see in Christmas displays around this area, bananas in pyjamas weren't actually there at that first Christmas. And there wasn't evergreen fir trees. They weren't there at the first Christmas. Neither were reindeer, possibly for dinner, but certainly not anything else. There was not Christmas stockings, and there wasn't any rumbles or mince pies, and that big, fat, smiley man, he was a relaunch of an old idea by Coca-Cola in 1931. His idea was around beforehand, Haddon Sun Blom. Coca-Cola did a great thing, didn't they? There has been a few embellishments to the Christmas story. But you know, there's actually some details to Christmas that are absolutely essential. There's lots of fun and community stuff, but there's stuff there that's not embellishment, that's not story made up. It's story witnessed by people. And that's what I want to bring us to our attention to this evening. The eyewitnesses and the interviews of those who were there. We read from Luke a little while ago. You might have noticed Luke starts by telling us that he's carefully interviewed eyewitnesses, made sure the facts are true. An ancient manuscript written by a bloke who's a doctor and a historian, written almost 2,000 years ago, a manuscript that's considered by historians to be the most accurate historical record that we've ever had as a society. A manuscript that can tell us where the locations of cities are and the history of ancient rulers. A manuscript that actually could tell us where wells are and you could go and dig them up. Or maybe where a Roman bath was that was lost for hundreds, maybe thousands of years from memory until it was accidentally discovered when they were putting in a sewage works in Jerusalem. But the Bible had described it there all the time. You see, this is an accurate historical record. It describes people and events. And if you focus in on just four books of the Bible, one of them we read from tonight, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, historical texts that at its most basic level describe who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do, what Jesus said, and how people responded to him. And what we need to think about tonight is that if Luke has recorded what the eyewitnesses saw, then we need to sit up and listen. Because we can discover just who Jesus is, we can hear what he said, we can understand what he came for, and we can think about what impact this should have on us tonight, this evening. Actually, not just this evening, actually for the rest of our lives. I'm going to pray as we look at this text. I'm going to pray that our hearts and our ears and our minds will be open. How about I pray? Our Lord and our God, as we look at the Bible this evening, as we ask the question, who is Jesus? And can we be sure about who he is? Lord, we pray that you might speak to us, that our hearts will be open, that our minds will be able to focus, and that we might understand what Christmas is about. not just as a story, but for how our lives should be shaped. And we ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. The easiest way to answer a hard question is to try and deflect it. Our politicians do it all the time. We can't be certain who Jesus is. Now, they don't often, politicians don't answer the question about who Jesus is. They do it with other stuff. But you know what I mean, don't you? Lots of people have lots of thoughts about Jesus. Let me encourage you with this thinking, that when it comes to knowing who Jesus is, you can be really certain that the people who first met Jesus, who first listened to Jesus, and who wrote about Jesus, knew what they were writing about. They knew who Jesus was. We can know who Jesus is, we can hear how the angels introduced him to Mary, and we can understand what he then proved as Luke records the detail. In the first part of the reading, you'll notice that when it comes to checking out the truth about Jesus, as I've said, Luke's investigated things, he's interviewed the eyewitnesses, he's written down accounts of what happened in Jesus' life, because Luke wants to make sure he's got it right, and he wants to make sure that this bloke called Theophilus, most excellent Theophilus, knows that it's true as well. And that's important, you know, because when Luke is writing about Jesus, he's not following popular opinion. He's not recording this for his profit. He doesn't expect to have fame or fortune out of this. The things that he's writing about Jesus cost him everything. It cost people their lives. People didn't want to know who Jesus was. Almost feels like we've gone a full circle, doesn't it? You see, Luke wanted to make sure he got it right. He wanted to make sure that Theophilus knew who Jesus was, because it may well cost him his life. When you've got your life on the line, it's pretty important to make sure that you've got confidence in whatever you're trusting. For many years, I used to train people in abseiling, caving and canyoning. I won't explain what they are if you've never come across them before. But anyhow, when you go abseiling, you put your life on a line, actually literally, on a rope, and it dangles over a cliff. I remember one girl getting to the bottom of a cliff once. She was so petrified, she vomited. Anyhow, it's really good to know that the rope you're on is incredibly strong. It's really good to know that it's been well tied off. You see, when your life is on the line, you want to check out the facts. And if you know the facts about Absalom, it's actually safer than crossing the road out the front at this time of night. You see, Luke wrote these facts down so that we could know with confidence who Jesus really was. And as he writes, he starts at the Christmas story. You might be wondering what all of this has got to do with Christmas. You know, it's obvious that Luke has sat down and spent time with Mary. He wasn't there when the angel turned up, but Mary was, wasn't she? Luke has interviewed Mary. And there's details in there that Mary's put in that she wouldn't make up if she could get around them any other way. They're not the details that you'd want other people to know about. It's not your details that you would include if you were defending who Jesus was, unless they were true. The details that Luke records after interviewing the eyewitnesses has angels appearing. Now, if I told you that I was on my way down here tonight and a whole pile of angels appeared, you'd be very sceptical about that. The same as people would have been then. And I wouldn't tell you that unless it actually happened, because you'd think I was a nut job. And these angels appeared and told Mary that she's going to have a baby. That would have been good if she was married. She was engaged, and contrary to popular opinion, she and Joseph weren't having sex on the side. And to make the story more incredible, the baby that she's going to have is the Son of God. Imagine breaking that story to your parents. Imagine breaking it to Joseph. And Joseph wants to leave her. He thinks he's been pipped at the post by another bloke. We're not told what her parents thought. But we do know later on in life that when people were mocking Jesus, they questioned his parentage. He everyone knew the story about Jesus' questionable parentage. There's no famous people who showed up at his birth. Kings and queens stayed at home. Leaders of the religious people of those that day, they didn't bother to even turning up. The people that worship God didn't even bother turning up. He was born in a feed trough, an animal stable, cold night, almost no one there. If you're going to make this up, you'd have never included this detail. It sort of undermines everything you're going to claim, isn't it? But the reason why Luke records these details is because that's what happened, as the eyewitnesses confirmed. Let me go back to the question I asked at the beginning. Who do you think Jesus is or was? The reason why it is an important question for us to be thinking about, because those people who saw him and walked with him and talked with him, ate with him, and even those people who tried to get rid of him were forced to realize that Jesus was not just an ordinary person. That what we read in Luke chapter 1 verse 26, as God is talking to, actually I think it's a little later on, verse 28 it might be, as Luke, you're going to give birth to the Son, and he'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. That's 32, if you'd like to follow along. We've read about the birth of Jesus. It's an amazing story, isn't it? We've only read a really small bit tonight. And sometimes with stories that you think you know a lot of, when you get to read the detail, you think, wow, I didn't realize this. Or maybe, well, I thought there was supposed to be all these other people there, and the Bible says nothing about them. The bananas in pajamas don't make it to any of the biblical stories, I can guarantee you. There's heaps I could mention here, but I won't because of the time. But I do want you to be thinking through, how can you be sure who Jesus is? We are running at the end of this month, the 29th, a course called Simply Christianity. Christianity Explored, let me get it right. And that's a great way to look into what the Bible says about who Jesus is. There's details in your newsletter. It'll help you unpack who Jesus is. Of course, people like to claim that the story is old and a bit mythical, and, well, to put your confidence in Jesus has just got to be blind faith. The only way you can have confidence in Jesus is make sure you bury your brains at the front door in the garden out there as you come into church. Because people like to claim that that's what faith is about. It's just a matter of putting aside what you know to be true and trusting what you think is not true, because that's what faith is. Can I tell you that that's not what Christians talk about when they're talking about faith? It's not what Luke's talking about. You see, Luke went and interviewed the eyewitnesses so you can be certain in what you're putting your faith in. For Luke, faith is not blind. It's not faith despite the evidence. It's faith because of the evidence. Another part of the Bible a little later on in a book called Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. When I used to take people both caving and abseiling, my wife, before she was my wife, I took her there once and she decided that was a lot better because you couldn't see what you're going into. But, you know, most people like to know that the rope makes it to the bottom. And when you abseiling into the dark and you really don't know what's below you and the little light on your head doesn't light up anywhere except for where your feet are, it's really good to know that someone's gone there before you and's waiting on the bottom for you. It's really good to know the facts about abseiling. You know how strong the rope is, what I mentioned before, but it's also good to know where you're going to end up. You know, it's not blind faith that God calls us to have. It's faith in who he is and what he's done in his son Jesus that's sure and certain, and Luke helps us know some of that as he interviews the eyewitnesses. You can't go back and watch the story of Jesus' lifetime on your iPad, or you certainly can't watch the original one. There's plenty of ones that people have made up. But you can be certain that what's written in the Bible is an accurate representation of what eyewitnesses saw and heard, experienced and lived through. Faith is not blind. It's based on the short and certain facts. There's one quick last thing I want us to look at as we ask the question, why is certainty in Jesus good? I think certainty in anything's good. Imagine the certainty of the Australian cricket team in the last test that they were certainly going to win, and that would have been diminishing rapidly as they got to the last 40 runs or 45 runs. Will we make it? We live in a place where there's political uncertainty, and wouldn't it be good to know the name of our Prime Minister in 5 weeks' time? We live in a place of economic uncertainty. Wouldn't it be good to know whether all our income and reserves and whatever else we're living on will actually be worth anything once America has its new president? Will the cost of your house will the value of your house equal the loan repayments of your house? Will it mean that we have a good credit rating or a bad credit rating as a nation? You see, we live with uncertainty. We live with relational uncertainty, economic uncertainty, political uncertainty. And I've met people who've gone to work and come home to an empty house. We meet people with great relational uncertainty. And isn't it good to know that there is and there can be a rock-solid foundation? If you know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that helps you build your life or rebuild your life with eternity in mind. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, absolutely not. But you can make decisions about eternity with certainty. If you know what God has done in sending his Son into the world, Luke writes that down so that you and I can have certainty as well. And we read about some of that. Actually, if you go to 1 Corinthians, that second reading we had before, it's written by a bloke called Paul, one of the guys who actually used to go around killing Christians. A guy who was completely transformed because he met the risen Jesus. Paul doesn't talk about all of this in detail, but Paul does talk about in other passages that he's prepared to die for the fact Jesus has risen. He's witnessed that with his own eyes. He knows that Jesus has been crucified. He knows that Jesus is dead, and he's seen the risen Jesus. You see, that one fact that Luke writes about is also something that Paul writes about because they want us to know. And Paul didn't see the risen Jesus on the way home from the pub. He talks about the fact that Jesus appeared to more than 10 times, up to crowds of 500 or more. People could touch him, watch him eat, speak to him, be certain that he'd risen from the dead. People saw that Jesus had risen. The Bible had told us that Jesus would rise. It all happened according to the scriptures we read. And Paul didn't make money out of it. He didn't print a book that gave him royalties. He didn't get fame or fortune. It cost him everything to tell people that he'd seen the risen Jesus. He wasn't going to die for a story that had been made up. It was for something that he saw with his own eyes. It is good to be certain because it's a true story. The story from Christmas to Easter tells us who God is, what he's like, and how we should relate to him. And that can become the foundation for the way that you live and I live. In less than a week's time, some people will be thinking about the year ahead of them, making New Year's resolutions. Wouldn't it be great to start the next year with certainty about who Jesus is? It'll help you make wise decisions. It'll help you know how to treat others. It will help you decide what's right and what's wrong. It'll help you know what to instill into the values to instill in the next generation. It'll help you know what values you would want our political leaders to adopt. But all that's peripheral. It will help you know who God is and what he's done for you and what happens the other side of death and how you can prepare for it. It has been said that if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept everything that he says. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, don't worry about anything that he says. You see, if the Christmas story all the way through to the Easter story is true, as the eyewitnesses saw, then Jesus really did defeat death. And it gives credence to every claim he made. But you tell you what, if Jesus is still in the grave, if Jesus never rose from the dead, then everything he claimed has been proved to be false. We've talked about the death of Jesus at Christmas. I know that sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? It's the story you want to get at Easter, not at Christmas. But you see, the story we read about Christmas, when Jesus is born, that people want to think is mythical, is backed up by an empty tomb at Easter. You see, the resurrection of Jesus puts a very sharp edge on the Christmas story. It changes it from being a story that's cute and cuddly of a baby with questionable parentage into a story that impacts our life today. If Jesus is still dead, let me give you some sad realities. I'm wasting my time tonight. And so are you. There is no hope in the face of death. There is no joy in Christmas. Christianity is just fairy stories if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But if it's true, then you can have real hope. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we should be pitied more than all people. Let me finish with our final question. Are you sure? Are you sure who Jesus is? Do you know the eyewitness facts? And has what you know in your head transformed itself into belief? You can know all about the story, but it can make no impact on your life. How about I pray? Our Lord and our God, we pray that this Christmas you will give us the time, you'll give us the motivation and the urgency to be sure about who you are and what you're doing in your Son Jesus. And Lord, we pray that that one reality will then shape everything we do. And we ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.